I'm going to have to sing before I preach to save my voice, but it's hard to do with them. Christmas songs. Amen? Amen. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Merry Christmas to everyone. Welcome. Let us pray. Lord in heaven, on this day, this last day of Advent, Father, as we continue to prepare our hearts to celebrate our Savior's birth, we say, Merry Christmas and come, Holy Spirit, Father. Open our hearts and our minds to the word of the gospel that is found in Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. We thank you, Lord, for this day. And we just lift up everyone here today and our families, Father, that you bless this Christmas season for us, Father. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Okay, so this is part two, amen? 12 days of Christmas, a season of service, amen? And I got a verse for you, Isaiah 9:6. We all know, even Linus knows this one, right? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Amen? Amen. I love that Christmas tree too. So Jesus, he is our Prince of Peace. Amen? And that's what my sermon is going to be about today, is about peace. Peace on earth. Amen? And so a very Merry Christmas to everyone. Thank you all for, after my sermon last week, for taking the time out of our busy lives. Amen? To be here, to worship the Lord on Christmas Eve. Amen? What better place to be, right? And to worship our Savior, right? The true reason for the season. The true reason for the season. And a season of peace. And in the midst of our busyness and stress, what we really need is peace, right? That's what we need. In the middle of everything we're going through, that the world's going through, we need peace. And we can only get that from Jesus Christ. And that's why we're here, amen? That's why we celebrate Christmas, and that's why we're here. And last week, we ended our message with a clear and conscious statement to keep Christ in Christmas. And I know we're all doing that because we can get so busy this time of the year that sometimes we can easily forget that Christmas is not about a jolly fat man in a red suit. Amen? Or 500 gifts under the tree, like that picture of Pastor Rick's tree from last week, right? Or even making 50 dozen tamales. Hurts my back just thinking about it, right? But it's about the birth of our Savior, the Prince of Peace. Amen. And Jesus Christ, who would die for our sins. Today's Christmas message will be about peace and the Prince of Peace. But first, we're going to finish our 12 days of Christmas. Amen. And we got up to number 7 last week. And I made some copies of it. Some people asked for copies of it. It's on the back table back there next to Lisa. If anybody wants a copy, okay? There's some copies back there. There's plenty back there, I think. So if you need one, if you run out, let me know. The back table, yeah, back there. Okay, so 12 days of Christmas. We're going to start with day 8 today. And since I'm all dressed up today, I'm going to try and sing it for you guys. No, I'm just kidding. I might, I don't know. On the 8th day of Christmas, you don't want to hear me singing. My true love gave to me 8 maids a-milking. We're at 8 maids a-milking, amen? As Christ came to save even the greatest of sinners, this gift represents the ones like you and me who would receive that gift, amen? Who would receive that gift and accept his grace. And remember, this was written a long time ago in England, okay? And to be a milkmaid, was like a really low on the rung type job, amen? So it was one of the worst jobs you could actually have at the time. So we know Jesus cared as much about servants as he did about kings and rulers. That's the point. Amen? That he cares about us all. And the 8 who Jesus said were blessed in the Beatitudes in Matthew 5 were the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Amen? Oh, there they are. Okay. So humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Amen? And that's exactly what that means, and we will all be blessed. Amen. On the ninth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 9 ladies dancing. These 9 dancers represent the gifts known as the fruits of the Spirit. Amen. 9 fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And we see all these fruits in Christ. Amen. We see all these fruits in Christ, and we seek to have them in our lives as well, to be more and more like Christ every day. But how do we grow these fruits in our lives if we don't have them in our lives? Amen. And it's said that we should pick one and use a phrase like, what would peaceful Robert look like? Amen. Just what would that look like, right? And then pray about it. And then as you get into these situations, you know, you have these peaceful thoughts and you have these peaceful actions ready to load it up and ready to go, right? So we put them into practice when we're presented with a situation that's not peaceful or not kind or not generous. Amen? That's one way we can kind of get into these fruits of the Spirit. And as we continue to do this, we start to bear the fruits of the Spirit, and by the renewing of our minds, they become habits in our lives. Amen? And that's what we mean by the renewing of our minds. We talk about that a lot in recovery. But be careful when you're praying for patience, though, okay? Because God will give you a reason to practice it. Amen? So when people say, yeah, be careful, don't pray for patience, that's what they mean. God will give you a reason to practice it. Amen? Amen. On the 10th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 10 lords a-leaping. This is probably the easiest gift for us to understand because the lords were in charge of the law. This represents the 10 commandments. Amen? The 10 commandments. And now, do all these old rules and laws still apply to us today? Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Amen? They are what we called last week the moral component of the Old Testament. The moral component. And or the moral standard. And is it wrong? Is it still wrong to lie? Is it still wrong to covet? Is it still wrong to worship idols? Yes, it is. Amen? It is. So you better believe it. And that's why we need to stay in God's Word every day to remind us. Every day to remind us. And in order to have peace, we have to obey God's Word. Amen? The Prince of Peace. On the 11th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 11 pipers piping. My wife said, are you really going to put that slide in there? But that's Judas. Amen? After Judas betrayed Jesus, he took his own life, and there were only 11 disciples left. That's the 11 pipers piping. Amen? So we also know that in order for the prophecy of our Savior to come true, there had to be a Judas, right? There had to be a Judas. And but Judas also serves as a warning to believers who would turn away from God and the church. This is a warning. This is an example of what not to do. Amen? And Jesus warned of believers being deceived in the days before the great tribulation, just as Judas was deceived on the night of the Last Supper. Amen? And he says in Matthew 24 that at that time, if anyone says to you, look, here's the Messiah, or there he is, do not believe it. For false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. We can all be deceived. Amen. Just as Judas was deceived. Amen. On the 12th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 12 drummers a-drumming. That's my favorite one. No, but not. If it's not really drummers, though. We have been given an amazing gift to protect us from being deceived by these false prophets. And what that is the apostolic faith has been passed down through the centuries, and the 12 drummers drumming represents the 12 points of doctrine in the Apostles' Creed. Amen? And that's what the 12 points are. And that Apostles' Creed, that means a lot to us with our Lutheran roots around here. Amen? But to all Christianity, amen? The 12 points of the Apostles' Creed. Number one being, I believe in God the Father, creator of heaven and earth. Number two, in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. Number three, he was conceived of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. Number four, he suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. Number five, on the third day, he rose from the dead. Amen? Yeah. Six, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. Thank you, Jesus. Number seven, he will come again to judge the living and the dead. Come, Lord Jesus. Number eight, I believe in the Holy Spirit. Yes, we do. And number nine, the Holy Catholic Church and the communion of saints. I want to stop on that one for a minute and pause. It says the Holy Catholic Church. Some people say, well, let's change that to Holy Christian Church, right? But in my research, I found that it doesn't necessarily mean the Catholic Church. What that means is the whole church as one. It's calling all the churches together, all the Christian churches together. And a Catholic Church is a Christian church, amen. It's a universal meaning, so it doesn't necessarily mean the Catholic Church, amen? So, but I wanted to mention that to you guys. The Holy Catholic Church and the communion of saints. Number 10, the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. Number 11, the resurrection of the body. Hallelujah. And the life everlasting. Save the best for last, right? Amen. Okay, now this is the real picture of my tree, okay? See, the gifts aren't going all the way up to the halfway up the tree, okay?
Was that taken recently?
That was last night, actually, yeah. I just had to prove that it wasn't my tree, but anyways. We live in a day and time when gift giving at Christmas is usually about trying to give the best, right? Trying to give the best, the greatest, or the next big thing. And in centuries past, though, it was the small things that mattered, the small things that people made and created for people that meant so much. And but the gifts that God gives are timeless. Amen? The gifts that God gives are timeless, and they're far superior to anything we can buy on Amazon, believe it or not. Amen? Our God is a giving God. Amen? In John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. The greatest gift ever. He gave his only Son, the first and greatest Christmas gift ever. Corrie Ten Boom wrote, she said, who can add to Christmas? The perfect motive is that God so loved the world. The perfect gift is that he gave his only Son. The only requirement is to believe in him. Amen. The reward of faith is that you shall have everlasting life. Right? All we got to do is believe. Amen. The greatest gift. Christmas isn't really about what any of us are giving. It's more about what we're receiving. What we're receiving from God. What we're receiving from God, and it's represented by the symbols in this song. All these symbols are gifts from God. And with the first gift, of course, the partridge in a pear tree being the greatest. And that's what we celebrate today. Amen. As we celebrate Christmas. We celebrate that partridge in a pear tree. Emmanuel, God with us, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Okay, so that's the 12 days of Christmas. Be sure to grab a copy. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Okay, our text. Verse 8 says, let's talk about some more about Jesus here. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly a great company, a heavenly host, appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. Amen. What a great Christmas story telling us that a Savior has been born. Greatest story ever. Amen. But we need to look at this story and see how it applies to our world today. And so the first people, other than Mary and Joseph, to receive a message about the Messiah were these lowly shepherds, right? And I've preached about the shepherds before, but I'm coming at it from a different angle today. Amen. So it was these lowly shepherds, and I say lowly because this is exactly how they were seen in their community. Amen? As lowly shepherds. because their occupation, they were kept from society, from upper middle class society, and they were kept from the synagogues as well because of what they did for a living. Amen. They were unclean. They were considered unclean and unwanted for the most part. But God still used them. Amen. Praise God, right? God can use any of us. God still used them. And they were, so we call this, this was like the world's first evangelistic service, okay? The shepherds were the congregation in their field, minding their own business. The heavenly hosts were the preachers. The heavenly hosts showed up and started preaching God's word. Amen? They were the preachers, and the announcement was the gospel in all its beauty. That was the sermon. The gospel in all of its beauty. And the invitation was responded to by everyone that was there and heard it. Like I hope ours is here today. Amen. And these shepherds may not have been prominent people in the town or even churchgoers, but they knew and they believed when they heard a message from God. They knew it was a message from God. And they were going to listen. As a matter of fact, in verse 9, it says that an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. They were terrified. I think we'd all be terrified if the angel showed up and shined a light around us, right? Are we good? Or what, right? And then in verse 10, the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will be great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Don't be scared. Angels are amazing creatures, and they're a much higher created order than humans. Amen? But apparently, they're scary, too. Because whenever they show up in the Bible, appearing to a human, they have to tell them to calm down or fear not, right? Because we know what they can do, right? We've seen what they can do. But this time the angel says, "Don't be afraid because I'm bringing you good news. I've come to bear good news." Amen? I'm bringing good news, the best news ever, by the way. And it's for all people. And the proof that this message is for all people is the fact that they're giving this message to these lowly shepherds. Right? That's the proof that it's for everybody. Why would he use the shepherds? Because God is sovereign. Amen? Amen. And he didn't give the message to kings or emperors or even a high priest. He gave it to the lowly shepherds. Thanks be to God. And when did they say the joy was going to come? Today, right? They said the joy was coming today. And where was it going to happen? In the city of David. And a lot of people say, well, it's Jerusalem, right? This is a different city of David. Amen. This was the city of David. This was Bethlehem. And this was where King David was born. So this would all be fulfilling prophecy. This was all about fulfilling prophecy. And so let's talk about the sovereignty of God and prophecy. I got a good picture here of them traveling on the donkey, right? You see, at this time, Mary and Joseph, they were living in Galilee, okay? So they would end up in Bethlehem 90 miles away. 90 miles away. They said it would have taken them 4 days, 8 hours a day traveling, just like that, for a pregnant woman on a, that's a long ride for a pregnant woman on a burro, right?
Right.
I got to say that in Spanish at the next service, but. Now, why do they end up in Bethlehem? Why do they end up in Bethlehem? Because God is sovereign. Amen? That's why they end up in Bethlehem. He's all powerful. How do they end up in Bethlehem? Because God is sovereign. This is prophecy. Amen? This is prophecy. And that's why they end up in Bethlehem. I got this picture. This is Caesar Augustus, okay? And that little baby down there on his leg, see that? That's supposed to be Cupid, okay? When I first saw him, I'm like, what's that baby doing down there? That's Cupid. What that means is in their religion, if you will, that meant that he was a ruler from the gods. Okay? He was a ruler from the gods. But at this time, Caesar Augustus was one of the most powerful men. Well, he was one of the most powerful men that ever lived. Amen? But he was the supreme ruler of the known world at this time. Okay? And but to God, he was like a pawn. right? He was like a pawn that he could move at his will on his chessboard of creation. Amen? He was nothing to God, right? Amen? So you see, Caesar wanted his tax money. Caesar wanted his tax money, but in order to get that money, he had to figure out where everybody was at. And they would do it by having a census, sort of like we do today. And but back then, you had to go in person. You had to go in person. So everyone would go back to their native town to be counted. It's where their family's from. Amen? And Joseph, he was from the clan of King David. So David was born in Bethlehem, okay? That's why they traveled. They didn't have a choice. They had to travel. Amen? And he was also betrothed to a pregnant woman named Mary, who was to give birth to our Savior. You know, but would never have made this trip if it wasn't for the census. Right? So God uses everyone. Amen? God uses everyone and everything. You see, God is sovereign, and Mary and Joseph, they would be fulfilling prophecy. Amen. Merry Christmas. Hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus, the prophet Micah received a word from God about this forthcoming Messiah. And in Micah 5:2 it says, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times." Amen. Ephrathah is an important name because there were two Bethlehems. Amen. There were two Bethlehems, one in Galilee and one in Judea. They were coming from Galilee. So the prophet is very specific about which one the Messiah was going to come from, which would be the Bethlehem Mary and Joseph would travel to in Judea. Amen? So because of that, because of the census, they would end up in this small town of David. Amen? And that's what was prophesied. Amen? By Micah, that's what was prophesied. And then we have King Herod, right? We have King Herod, who was the ruler of the Galilee region at the time, and King Herod was a maniac. King Herod was a maniac, and I'm not going to preach too much on him today, but he was insane in the membrane. And when he heard that a king of the Jews was going to be born, he was like, wait a minute, we can't have that. We can't have that. You see, Herod would kill anybody who felt he was threatening his throne. Amen? He would kill anybody, even a baby. So he said, I need to kill this child before he gets older and tries to make himself the king. So he asked his advisors where this king of the Jews was to be born, and his advisors told him, the Old Testament prophet Micah says he is to be born in the little town of Bethlehem. Right? It also says that he will be from old, from ancient times, which was their way of saying he was eternal. He was eternal. He was the Messiah. So the shepherds are saying, okay, he's going to be born in Bethlehem, and he's going to be eternal, the Messiah. But how do we find him? How are we going to find Jesus? Verse 12 says, they said, this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a mansion. Yeah, right. Lying in a manger, right? Not a mansion, not a palace. Lying in a manger. So the shepherds were already amazed that they're receiving this message from God. They're like, really? Us? Right? So they're already amazed about that. But at the same time, they can't believe the Messiah is going to be born lying in a manger. And I showed you guys pictures of an actual manger, right? It's like a stone bathtub type looking thing, right? Like a horse trough. And they just couldn't believe that the Savior of the world was going to be lying in this manger. And I didn't get the other pick up there. And then in a stable. Because remember, there's no room at the inn, right? So the baby was going to be in the stable. Once again, prophecy. Now remember, only one angel would deliver this message, but many, a host of angels, was about to celebrate the Savior. Amen? Amen. And I got a picture of that. There they are. That was the best one I could find, I think. I like that one. Pretty good. Verse 13 says, suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. So they were terrified over one angel, right? They were terrified. But now, you know, that good thing you told them to calm down, right? Because now they got a whole host of them, right? Okay, so but the good news of the Savior is what calmed them down. That's what really calmed them down. And verse 14 is one of the most famous verses for Christmas cards when it says, peace on earth and goodwill to all men, right? Peace on earth and goodwill. Looking at this crazy world today, we could sure use some peace on earth. Amen. We could sure use some peace on earth. Thanks be to God for the peace that we have here in the United States. But there's a lot of peace needed around the world, even here. In the last century, over 108 million people have died in war. And 45 million people have been martyred for their beliefs in Christianity. Where's the peace? Amen? Where's the peace? This world needs peace. Peace on earth. Peace on earth and goodwill to all men. And it's up to us as Christians to set the standard. Amen? It's up to us as Christians to set the standard. Somebody's trying to call me on my phone, on my watch, I'm sorry. It's up to us to set the standard as Christians of peace out there in the world. Amen? And there are countries in the Middle East where all this started, right? We're talking about today. There's countries out there that have been at war for hundreds and hundreds of years. They're still at war right now. They never stop. Hundreds and hundreds of years. So if Jesus came to bring peace, then where's the peace? Right? Where's the peace? No Jesus, no peace. No Jesus, no peace, right? Amen. That's what he said. Maybe Jesus was talking about inner peace. Amen. Or maybe he was talking about the peace we find when we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe that's the kind of peace he was talking about. A peace that we receive from a blessed assurance of eternal life regardless of our circumstances in our lives. That's the peace. Regardless of what we're going through and no matter how bad it is, we still have that peace. Charles Spurgeon said, as long as a man is alive and out of hell, he has no cause to complain. That means in all circumstances. Paul said that it was a peace that surpasses all understanding. He said it from prison. It's not the peace that the world understands, but a peace that Jesus speaks of in Luke chapter 12. And in that chapter he says, do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other. Three against two, and two against three. They will be divided. Father against son, and son against father. Mother against daughter, and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Some say that sounds like their house last Christmas, huh? Some might say that. Not my house, but Jesus is saying that some people are going to be upset because we're proclaiming his name. Even family, even friends are going to be upset over that, even at Christmas time. But don't let that dissuade you from spreading God's word, especially at Christmas time. The shepherds may not have been a popular group of people, but they were going to spread the word of Christ at the first Christmas. They might not have been wanted everywhere, but they were going to spread that word anyways. Amen? Verse 15 says that when the angels left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord told us about. So they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. God used these lowly shepherds to deliver the greatest message about the greatest gift because He is sovereign. Because His ways are not our ways. His ways are not our ways. God can use any of us to spread His gospel, and this is the best time of the year. This is the time of the year people want to know about Jesus. Amen. This is the best time of the year to offer the peace of salvation to those that are lost and hurting. It says they were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. We never know when the seeds we plant or by the words we say or the actions we take are going to amaze someone. Right? We never know when it's going to amaze someone and change their lives forever. We might not see it today or tomorrow. We never know when those seeds are going to be planted and change their lives. We're called as God's children to spread peace on earth and goodwill to all men and women. Amen? And these shepherds, they would do just that. And as they delivered the first Christmas message of Christ, they would do just that. But Mary would play a much different part in this miraculous story of a Savior to be born in Bethlehem. It says, verse 19, that Mary treasured up all these things in her heart and pondered them in her heart. Amen? You see, Mary's reaction was different than either the shepherds or those who heard them. She would calmly take it all in and meditated over it in her heart, seeking to understand the deep meaning of it all because she had given birth to the Savior of the world. She knew that. She had given birth to the Savior of the world. That, like the song says, the child that she delivered would soon deliver us all. Amen? She pondered that in her heart. Verse 20 says, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Are we glorifying God for all the things that we've seen because of our Savior? We should be doing that every day, amen? Are we spreading the peace that surpasses all understanding, especially to those that are lost and hurting? Matthew 5:9 says that, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Spread that peace. What is the ultimate expression of a peacemaker? It is someone spreading the gospel to others. That's the ultimate expression of a peacemaker. Because in doing this, we're giving them what the angels announced to the shepherds. Giving them the message of Christ. Peace on earth, goodwill to all men. The ultimate way to show that you've made peace with God is to show them the peace of God. Show them the peace of God through Jesus Christ. When we believe in Him, when we walk like Him, and when we talk like Him, and when we love like Him, we love our neighbor as ourselves. That's just being like Jesus. That's what we're called to do. Through these 12 days of Christmas and beyond, let's be kind, amen? Let's be kind, let's be good, let's show compassion, and let's spread God's peace out there. The world needs it, man. The world needs all of us to do that. Let us help those less fortunate and comfort those who are struggling. And let's keep the Christ in Christmas. Because in this, when we do this, this is where we find the true joy of Christmas. That's the true joy of Christmas. So Merry Christmas to you all, and God bless you guys. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you, Father. We thank you for the love, the joy, and the peace that you show to us, not only in this season, but in every season. May we all receive this gift of peace and show that same peace to others in all we do and all we endeavor. Lord, as you bless us and provide in a mighty way this Christmas season, Lord, use us to spread this good news that began in a manger 2,000 years ago. We give praise and thanks for every spiritual gift that you bestow upon us today and evermore. May everything we do, Lord, bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Merry Christmas, you guys.